Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition,
sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York, where a grand jury heard more testimony today on former President Trump. It's looking into whether he falsified business records to hide hush money payments to Stormy Daniels in 2016. Back then, Bob Costello was a legal advisor to Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen.
The only thing I'm doing is trying to tell the truth to the grand jurors, because I read all these lies in the media that are being promoted by one side. If you see the full picture, you know, listen, if they want to go after Donald Trump and they have solid evidence, so be it. But Michael Cohen is far from solid evidence.
An indictment is not expected till later this week. Meantime, some Republicans have launched their own investigation. Here's CBS's Nicole Killian.
House Republicans have sent a letter to Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg requesting testimony by Thursday about his investigation into former President Donald Trump. The heads of the Judiciary, Oversight, and House Administration Committee signed on to the letter, which also asked for communications and documents. The lawmakers call Bragg's potential indictment of former President Trump an unprecedented abuse of prosecutorial authority.
The White House isn't happy about Russia and China's leaders meeting in Moscow today. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
We are concerned that instead, China will reiterate calls for a ceasefire that leaves Russian forces inside Ukraine's sovereign territory. Any ceasefire that does not address the removal of Russian forces from Ukraine would effectively ratify Russia's illegal conquests.
Teachers in Los Angeles are ready to hit the picket lines.
Plans for a three-day strike are still on in the nation's second largest school district. Custodial workers, bus drivers, food servers, and others accounting for around 30,000 say they will walk out tomorrow demanding higher wages. Teachers say they will honor the picket lines, which means schools will essentially be shut down, affecting more than a half million students.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman reporting. Parents, beware, your baby's formula could be bad. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
Some Gerber Good Start Soothe Pro TM powdered infant formula is being recalled because it could be contaminated with bacteria that can make babies seriously ill. The impacted formula was sold after March 5th and has use-by dates between July 4th and July 16th of 2024.
So far, no illnesses have been reported. Well, the cast of Ted Lasso met with President Biden today to talk about mental health at the White House. Here's star Jason Sudeikis.
So please, you know, we encourage everyone, and this is a big theme of the show, is like to check in with your, you know, your neighbor, your coworker, your friends, your family, and ask how they're doing. And listen.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking property owners to keep an eye out for spongy moth eggs this spring. Look for tan lumps about the size of a nickel or a quarter on trees or on buildings. Formerly known as gypsy moths, spongy moths are an invasive species which kill trees by eating all the leaves. The DNR expects an outbreak is likely to continue and that the moths will keep spreading. The National Club Curling Championships wrapped up this weekend in Washington. 24 teams from across the country took part in the games. New York winning first place in the women's competition. Colorado took home the prize for the men. And the Wisconsin women's hockey team are the national champions after defeating Ohio State in Sunday's title game. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab. Hey, Wisconsin, the spring election is April 4th. Make sure you're prepared with an ID to vote. If you have a Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, military ID, U.S. passport, VA card, or Wisconsin tribal ID, you're all set. If not, you've got options. For free help getting an ID to vote, call or text Vote Riders at 866-ID-2-VOTE. That's 866-ID, the number 2, V-O-T-E. Call or text today, 866-ID-2-VOTE.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAU.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to your Paul Revere show. This is a beautiful first night of spring in the great state of Wisconsin, in the great county of Waukesha. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. to talk about what the state of democracy in the state of Wisconsin and how to keep it moving forward. And I'm honored to get right to our first guest of the night here at WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, Ben Wickler, a champion of progressive ideas in the state and the chairperson of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's an honor to be on here on the Paul Revere Show.
Well, thanks so much. And you know, here we are, April 4th, 2023, coming up in a blink. Why is April 4th, 2023 important?
Well, in the very grand scheme of things, you might say eventually the sun will run out of juice and Earth will be a lifeless rock. And at that scale of perspective, maybe April 4th isn't a big deal. But anything short of that, if you care about the future of democracy in the state of Wisconsin and the nation, if you care about basic freedoms, like whether you should have the freedom to make your own decisions about your own body, if you care about whether the 2024 presidential election could be overturned, or about the partisan gerrymandering that has rigged Wisconsin to be voter-proof, if you care about any of those things and every other issue they touch, like workers' rights to organize, the funding of our public school system, everything is at stake on April 4th. This is the hinge moment in our state's political history, and this is go time.
So why is that?
So
how are all those issues on the table? Why is that?
It is this wild thing. Wisconsin has a Supreme Court with seven justices, but one of them's retired, which means there's an open seat on the state Supreme Court. And whoever wins this open seat will cast the tie-breaking vote in decisions, because there's three progressives and three conservatives. And in this election, it's far right-wing ultra-mega extremist Dan Kelly versus progressive Janet Protasiewicz. So whichever one of them wins will be the tie-breaking vote on issue after issue after issue. To take one example, abortion, there's a lawsuit that Attorney General Call and Governor Evers have brought to argue that the total abortion ban, which with almost no exceptions, that was passed in the year 1849, before women had the right to vote, before the invention of modern medicine, before the Civil War, whether that ban should still be enforceable to criminally ban abortion in the state of Wisconsin. That case will go before the state Supreme Court at some point after whoever wins on April 4th is seated. So if you want to be able to throw doctors in jail, then you should vote for Dan Kelly. And if you think that abortion is a question of personal freedom, then you should vote for Janet Protasiewicz. And these elections can be incredibly close. In 2019, it came down to less than one vote per precinct across the state of Wisconsin. Same thing in 2011. Like half a percentage point or less is the voter margin, which means that anyone listening right now could be that one vote in your precinct who makes the difference on the outcome of April 4th for the future of freedom and democracy in our state. That's why this election in 15 days is so important.
So we've talked about women and women exercising their vote. You went through a whole litany. How about the whole idea of democracy in the state? MAPS. How is that teed up on April 4th?
So Wisconsin has a rogue Supreme Court that alone in the country this century, there's a law professor who looked around across this whole United States and found that Wisconsin State Supreme Court is the only court in America that received a lawsuit in a situation where the governor and the legislature couldn't agree on the maps and then just chose the Republicans' maps. That doesn't really happen anywhere else, but it happened here, which creates a kind of doom loop of eternal gerrymandering damnation that Republicans have created, where even Democrats winning the governor's race doesn't have any effect on what the legislative lines are, as long as the Republican legislators can propose laws that keep themselves in power, and then the state Supreme Court can rubber stamp their choice. But we have a constitution in the state of Wisconsin. And if we elect a state Supreme Court majority that actually looks at our constitution and our laws and decides on the basis of those, instead of just deciding on the basis of what gives Republicans more power, then we could do what Pennsylvania did when they elected a pro-democracy state Supreme Court in the last decade, which is to take a fresh look at the maps, look at the Constitution, and decide whether these maps are in fact constitutional. And if they're not, and boy, I don't think they are, if the state Supreme Court concludes the maps are unconstitutional, they can order redistricting right away. It is not impossible that we can have new maps in 2024 and actually have a democracy in the state. Right now, Democrats could win by 11 points statewide and still lose the majorities in both chambers of the state legislature. That is not a democracy. There's an international study that looked and called Wisconsin a democracy desert akin to the Congo or Saddam Hussein's Iraq. It is really a joke in place of a democracy when you have maps that are this rigged. But that all could change if we win on April 4th. And if you have a problem with anything the state legislature has done in the last 12 years, you've got to turn out to vote in this spring, supposedly nonpartisan election, and stop the GOP extremists.
Yeah, and for folks listening, you know, we have Ben Wickler, the chairperson of the Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin. But, you know, it's not Ben, a partisan, who held that the maps were unconstitutional. A lot of people forget we had a federal court made up of three federal judges say that our maps were unconstitutional, that it was so rigged, it was so unfair. And one of the judges that ruled with the other judge was a Republican appointee. So this idea of that our maps are not fair or unconstitutional is not a novel idea, and it's not one that is just partisan in nature. It is shared by many, 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 many people. So here's this key election. What is the Democratic Party doing to get people out to vote?
There's an age-old recipe for how to turn out voters, and that is to talk to them. So this moment and every minute through Election Day, anyone listening who wants to help, we are knocking on doors across the state of Wisconsin. We are calling people's phones. We're sending text messages. We don't want to absolutely swamp people, but we want people to know this election is happening. And we're running ads and getting the word out and doing as much press as we possibly can. But I will say we can knock our way to victory in this race. Because if this comes down to what's called a field margin, where it's a point or less, if you just organize, 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 you can win. And if we win, we change history in the state of Wisconsin. So if folks go to wisdems.org/help, they can choose knock on doors or join a phone bank, and it makes all the difference in the world.
I know you've been across the state virtually every day talking to people. What do you hear? What are people saying?
So they're saying one of two things. People who have heard about this election are saying, holy smokes, how can we get more people to get involved in this thing? This is such a huge deal. People need to realize I got to recruit my friends. When I knock on doors and people have already heard about it, they instantly commit to recruiting other people to vote. But there's another kind of voter, which is a voter who does not know that this is happening. And this is the thing that I'm just obsessed with. There are hundreds of thousands of strong Democrats who just never voted in a spring election before, and for whom it's kind of news that there could be an election on April 4th. Like, what is that? It's not happening on national TV. It's not happening on the front pages of the newspaper every single day, the way that the November 2022 elections were, or 2020 election. And even if we break every record for turnout, it'll probably still be something like half of the turnout that we have in November elections. So the wild thing about this moment is, like, once you know, you know. And anyone who's listening right now, you know. And you need to let the fire that is burning inside of you spread, because we need to spread the word about this thing. Don't assume that your friends, your family, your coworkers know about this election, because some of them don't. And the folks who stay home are the ones I'm most worried about, because they have a chance right now to undo the ways that Republicans have rigged our state, to undo the attacks on our freedoms, our democracy, our voting rights, the banning of drop boxes, the banning of helping even a family member return their absentee ballots. All these things come from the Supreme Court, not from the legislature at this point. It's the Supreme Court that's at the center of this problem. So I don't want anyone to wake up on April 5th and find out that they had a chance to cast a ballot for hope and freedom and democracy and change, but didn't, because the word didn't get out to them. It is all of our job to use our megaphones in this moment and spread the word.
What are you hearing from young people? You know, historically, spring elections were known for, like, older folks like me, frankly, who just had a pattern and a habit of voting. And no disrespect to the public generally, but there wasn't the kind of attention on spring elections. What is getting young people to the polls on April 4th?
I will say this abortion ban is probably the single biggest thing. It is so personal. This people, especially people who are, you know, entering the years in which they might decide to try to start a family, it is really a deep threat. There was a study that asked young women about what they thought about when they thought about abortion bans, and they answered their own mortality. That there's no exception for the health of the mother, of a parent in Wisconsin's abortion ban. You have to have two doctors saying that your life is at risk, and the point at which two doctors are both saying your life is at risk is way past the point where you should be getting medical help. There are people who are bleeding for days right now, and their doctors are afraid to provide the routine standard of care because they think they could be thrown in jail. It is so personal for people. And, you know, most people who obtain abortions already have children. That people are thinking, when they think about whether to have a second or third child, they're now thinking, but what if it's a high-risk pregnancy? What will I do? So this is really, really making people get engaged in a way that they haven't before. And I'll close this answer with one anecdote. There was a ward on campus at the University of Wisconsin-Madison where they printed 50 ballots in anticipation of who would vote in the February primary. 500 students showed up. It took 3 hours to get enough ballots for all those students to vote, but not one of them left the line. That is the kind of energy that we're seeing. And that's what we will need to win on April 4th.
Thank you, Ben Wickler. Thank you for all you're doing for this. Keeping Wisconsin moving forward. Here we are, the first day of spring. New things happening. New things can happen. Register to vote on April 4th and vote for progress. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Thank you, Ben Wickler.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks all.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 32. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 52. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Chance for scattered showers, 37. Chance for scattered showers Wednesday and Thursday, 53. Wednesday, 44. Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here at WAUK 540 AM 101 FM every Monday night from 7 to 8. We just wrapped up with Ben Wickler and talking about the April 4th, 2023 election and why it was important statewide. For the rest of this hour, I'm delighted and honored to have Diane Voigt and Sarah Harrison here. Diane Voigt is running for a crucial local election, nonpartisan, right, school board. Welcome, Diane.
Hello.
And Sarah Harrison is a supporter of Diane, a parent in the district with a child in the school district.
Yep.
So before you say, tell us a little bit about who you are, Diane. Sort of the key question, what is crucial with voting on April 4th? And why is the school board in Waukesha County, locally here at home, so important to our children, to our democracy, and to keep Wisconsin moving forward?
At this point, the current school board has a very conservative slant to it. You know, they are very proud of being very like-minded. And in this election, I present an option to get another perspective, to be able to be raised at the board, to be able to discuss things that I think are important for kids, because I put kids first. And you know, after my background, you know, that's the highest priority.
So, you know, a lot of listeners may already know you because you served on the school board here in Waukesha. Right?
For 3 years.
But for people that haven't met you or never had a chance to vote for you, let's hear about Diane. What's your, you know, in a minute or two, and I, you know, going to condense your life big time. What got you involved in, education to begin with? And what have you been doing for, I know you're grandmother?
I'm a grandmother.
Okay, so I'm a grandfather. So tell our listeners a little bit about what you did before.
Okay. I was a teacher at Waukesha North High School for 38 years. I went to UW-Whitewater for a degree in special education and picked up a double major of business ed and special ed. So that was a unique offering, a unique perspective that I brought to the table at that point. And after teaching career preparation skills to students for 38 years, I did retire and decided that I was going to go to the next chapter of my life, which is going to be a life of travel and service. And I've had a chance to get all but one continent, but I'm working on that soon, and hopefully being able to continue the service that I've done by volunteering in the schools at all levels. You know, from elementary school through middle school. I pretty much knew what high school was all about, so I didn't do a lot of volunteering there, except on service project days, but then focusing even on the Transition Academy for 18 to 21-year-olds, because my core was special education. You know, so I definitely have a concern for making sure that those students have the best education possible in the district. I've been very much an advocate for excellence in education, working very strongly very positively through the Waukesha Education Foundation since 2013. And that, if you're not familiar with the Waukesha Education Foundation, we offer grants to teachers each year to give them the funding to be able to try new ideas and to be able to really do amazing things for our students. Other things I've had a chance to do are in my travel mode. One of the first things I did through my church, St. Luke's Lutheran here in Waukesha, is travel to Tanzania. So I have an international perspective and have had the opportunity to start a preschool program for what they call the babies, which are the 4K kids here. And they modeled a 4K program in Tanzania after the one that we offer at my church, our Child Life Ministries program at St. Luke's, which is really, really powerful.
Yeah, it is. It's quite amazing. So you served previously on the school board. Tell us when. And what was your involvement, and what were some of your key programs that you were involved with at that time?
Okay. I was elected to the board in 2018. And at that point, I had the leadership role of being the clerk, even for the board. I was served on the Finance and Facilities Committee, on the Policy Committee, and I chaired the Tech Committee. And I'm very proud of the referendum that we, as a finance committee, that we were able to pass in the school district of Waukesha with an amazing over 60% vote, because we were offering the opportunity to have safe entrances at each of our schools. And that truly has become an amazing contribution to the district. Again, being on the finance committee, we were very concerned about paying off the debt as quickly as we could. And we've saved millions of dollars by setting up a plan to pay it off in like less than 8 years, when most districts takes 20 years to pay off a referendum debt. The other committee I was involved in was the tech committee. And one of my main accomplishments there was getting the transparency that I hope to have be available for parents through the idea of our board docs. Online program. They used to do paper everything, send us school board members a packet in the mail on Friday, but that didn't let there'd be an agenda posted, but that really didn't give you the supplementary documents to go along with it. What are you going to be talking about in the policy committee? What are you going to be talking about at each of the subcommittees? And now with the transparency that's available through board docs, it's just amazing. Anybody can log in and be able to know exactly what's on the agenda and know what's happening.
So we have a little less than a minute to come up before break. Historically, what was the strength? Because from my vantage point in Milwaukee, Waukesha Public Schools were looked at as very successful. Mm-hmm. In 10 seconds or less, what happened? And we'll come back on the other side to talk about it.
I guess the reason for our success is that we were able to offer a variety of different options for kids. You know, everything from our online high school, you know, our and many choices of dual language, etc.
Folks, we'll be right back with Diane Voigt, Sarah Harrison, to talk about what is happening in the public schools in Waukesha.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. A grand jury in Manhattan has heard testimony from attorney Robert Costello in the Manhattan District Attorney's investigation into former President Donald Trump. While he claimed he would be arrested tomorrow, there's still no timetable, as our Robert Costa reports from the courthouse.
This has been a long time coming to reach a point where an indictment of Trump seems very possible, though again, the timing still seems to be up in the air.
Russia's president welcomed the leader of China, who said the two are dear friends. The National Security Council's John Kirby says China should call out Russia's actions in Ukraine.
This war could actually end right now if Russia would withdraw its troops from the country. We hope the President Xi will press President Putin to cease bombing Ukrainian cities, hospitals, and schools.
The United Nations chief is calling for an end to new fossil fuel exploration and rich countries quitting coal, oil, and gas use by 2040 due to a bleak climate report. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
4-7 Comedian News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Both candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court are defending some past choices. Janet Protasiewicz is under fire for giving some light sentences as a Milwaukee County judge. Some of those defendants went on to commit more crimes.
You know, I'm not able to tell necessarily who's going to reoffend. Of course, looking back on it, I say, I wish I had known that you were going to reoffend, right? Of course I do.
Protasiewicz on Upfront Sunday, Dan Kelly advised Republicans on legal efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential race. Kelly and Protasiewicz will debate tomorrow. That debate will be broadcast on many civic media radio stations tomorrow night. In sports, the Wisconsin women's hockey team are the national champions. They beat Ohio State in yesterday's title game. The Badger men's basketball team plays on in the NIT. They're in Oregon for the quarterfinals tomorrow night. Marquette season is over. They lost yesterday to Michigan State. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoyed by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app. Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Greg Bach is here because it is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. Greg Bach, what is this hour called?
The No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry.
It's right for today.
It's right for today.
Oh, it's you know right. What, Jake? Can you ever be on my side? Ever?
Weekdays 11 to 2.
What do you think got me this job, Greg Bach?
Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
On Civic Media.
Happy Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
And the Civic Media app.
Welcome back. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 at WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. We have always been focused on moving Wisconsin forward, focused on democracy. Tonight, I am honored to have Diane Voigt, who is a candidate for the Waukesha School Board, along with a parent and a parent with a daughter in the school district.
My young human is a non-binary young human named Chuck.
With Chuck,
yes.
Excuse me.
Yes, that's okay.
So a parent involved in the school district, intimately involved, as well as a supporter for Diane Voigt.
Absolutely.
We talked a little bit about who Diane was and that her great experience on the board previously. So as a parent, what happened and what is going on on the school board that necessitates Diane getting back in?
Yeah.
So from a parent's point of view, help us out.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, I support Diane wholeheartedly. She has a community focus. She's a long-term educator. She understands how schools work, and she has a common sense point of view where she is not taking her cues from a national movement. And what happened, what went wrong, is that we saw that WIS Red bought our last two Waukesha School District elections.
So what is WIS Red, and what does that mean?
WIS Red is part of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and they put a whole heck of a lot of money into the last two school board elections, into folks who were vetted to have the same point of view. When Diane said that the board is like-minded, that I would say that's an understatement. They are. We have folks who have signed a pledge from...
A pledge to who?
The 1776 Project.
And so what is that, and what is this pledge?
Yeah, so the 1776 Project was a reaction to the 1619 Project, where folks were encouraging people to learn more about some of the things that happened in our history that were not necessarily all good. And gosh, if we can't learn from our mistakes, we're doomed to repeat them, right? So that's, in my view, that's a positive thing. Let's learn all of our history. The 1776 Project is trying to take any of those lessons out of our school. If you go to their website, it pops up immediately with a box saying, do you want to report that critical race theory is happening in your school? It gives you that prompt before you do anything on their website.
So what does that mean as a practical matter for kids that are going to school in Waukesha now, in Waukesha Public Schools?
Sure. So the 1776 Project is looking to oppose critical race theory, which first of all is not being taught in schools outside of law school. They are opposed to diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. They're actually even opposed to something called social-emotional learning, which has been part of the curriculum for a while, and it helps kids to understand and to adjust appropriately. And it's one of the things that really helps them more once they get out in the world than some of the facts and figures might help. And so all of the folks who are supported by WIS Red have also been vetted by the 1776 Project. We're seeing a lot of national speaking points. These are not coming as concerns that are organically happening in Waukesha. We have a gentleman named Keith Best, who I think it's ironic that he's the quote-unquote grassroots outreach director, because this is not very grassrootsy. In a letter to the editor, he talks about that what kids need to learn is not drag queen shows. That's not happening in Waukesha. Pornography in school libraries, and being taught that they are racist because of the color of their skin. Those things are not happening in Waukesha. Those are national speaking points that you're hearing from folks such as Josh Hawley, Tom Cotton. You're hearing it from Republican politicians. You are not hearing that organically happening in Waukesha from parents.
Do you think parents and the public generally were aware of, like, the candidates and these pledges to a commitment other than the children?
I don't think so. I truly don't. You have more folks who are aware that even though this is being, it's considered a nonpartisan race, it really hasn't been a nonpartisan race, at least here in Waukesha, for the last three cycles. I think you have folks who know who is supported by the Republican Party, but they don't understand all of the layers of what's going on underneath it. Another example of national groups impacting our school board actions is if you take a look at the recently passed Parental Rights and Transparency Resolution. You look at the first sentence in the School District of Waukesha resolution versus a template you can download from Moms for Liberty. there are two words that are different, and they do not significantly change the meaning. So it was absolutely an item that was pulled down from that website, modified slightly, and then put into our schools.
So what is that for people that haven't been paying attention or whose children may not have told the parents?
Right, right.
What is it?
The parental rights and transparency resolution is, it is, well, in my view, it's manufactured outrage, and it's talking about parents having the right to view curriculum. They already have that right. Talking about parents' right to participate in their kids' education, I guarantee you a teacher would love to have you volunteer and show up and participate. And the other thing that they put together with all of this was some anti-LGBTQ rhetoric about you can't use a name other than your birth name, or I believe they called it like a logical derivative, so Bill for William, et cetera. And your pronouns must align with your biological sex at birth unless your parents sign a permission form. And that got packaged in with all of these educational things that we already have all of the educational rights. It's basically, to me, it's a Trojan horse to try to get the anti-LGBTQ and stuff in there.
How has that been visible then to the kids in schools? I mean, I've heard discussions about rainbows, and rainbows are trying to be abolished in Waukesha public schools. How is it possible that a rainbow gets abolished, or that a rainbow somehow is an evil thing in Waukesha County public schools?
There's a lot of fear-mongering going on, othering of folks who don't have the same experience that you have. 2 years ago, I believe, was when the signage there was a signage policy that was, it wasn't a policy, I'm sorry, it was a statement made by the superintendent. So it wasn't a policy, so it didn't have to go through policy steps to remove anything that was deemed political signage. And I put that in quotes because it included safe space signs, it included Black Lives Matter signs, and the statement was, well, it's also including Blue Lives Matter signs, and it's, you know, whatever, from the quote unquote other side. Those safe space signs can literally be lifesavers for LGBTQ students. These are students who are already at a high risk of self-harm and high risk of suicide. And if they don't have a trusted adult to go to, they could be in real trouble. And the presence of a safe space sign or a rainbow does not in any way harm anyone. The presence of it being there could very well save a kid's life. I really cannot tell you how strongly I feel about this. I am very, I have a very strong relationship with my young human, and we talk about all these things. Not everybody has that at home. Not everybody is comfortable talking to their parents about these things. And by putting things in place like this, requiring parents' permission to use your pronouns that you affiliate with, you are forcing the kids to be outed to their parents, and they may not be ready for that. So either you have to pretend that you're not what you are, or we're going to out you to your parents. There's your choices.
So how have you seen these issues impact your discussions with other parents and other people involved? Where is all that at play right now?
Yeah, so parents are really concerned about the direct impact on the students and the mental health. And I have heard from students, there have been things such as a student who was bullying some folks who were part of the LGBTQ community, took a pride flag and wrote Trump 2024 and threw it on the table at lunch of, you know, a group of kids that they knew were part of that community. And I'm certain there are other things that I'm not hearing about. That to me was one really powerful visual thing that happened. And kids are not, high school's a hard enough time without having all of that extra stress put on you in this way. It's really been stressful for those kids. I get very passionate about this.
How have you seen you know, the board responding. It's a nine person board, right?
Yep.
And it sounds like this very conservative Republic, they've actually taken all the seats now on the board?
Essentially, yes.
And how has that played out in terms of transparency, and how have you seen the decision-making process change?
Yeah, most definitely. So,
from a parent, because then I'm going to lay out the parents here, and then we'll let Diane finish off the show with what needs to be done.
Absolutely. So we're seeing things like in January, there was a proposed change to the staff dress code that included all sorts of things that seemed very strange to me, thinking about what teachers do in any given day. They were taking away things like being able to wear comfortable shoes like tennis shoes. They were saying you can't wear jeans, you can't do this, you can't wear any sort of t-shirt. And then when I, as an informed parent, showed up to that HR meeting that night, oh no, all of those things are going away, but we're keeping that you have to have a solid lanyard, that you can't have any sort of buttons or anything, and that you have to have a solid face mask if you're wearing a face mask. Well, the only thing they're trying to do there is to take away the rainbow lanyards, rainbow face masks. And from what I understand, there was actually a specific teacher that was targeted with that because she had a rainbow lanyard and had some a button that had like a safe space type of messaging. And that was absolutely not acceptable to the board and to the administration.
What is their rationale behind this publicly? What do they say publicly on why they're so afraid of rainbows?
They are trying. The best argument I've heard from their side is, I'm a parent. I have the right to know everything that's going on with my kid. And I think that's really all they've got that makes any sense in a lot of these situations. And I'm a parent, and I want to know what's going on with my kids, so I have a strong relationship with my kid, and I make sure that I'm having conversations with them. And I don't think the school needs to broker a relationship between a child and their parent.
What do they say about the broader question of why a rainbow or a safe space is inappropriate in a the public school setting? I mean, what are they saying about that?
I mean, outside of them just trying to label it as political, I haven't heard a compelling argument for why that shouldn't be in our schools. And maybe Diane has more on that.
We're going to tee it up.
All right.
Momentarily. You talked about a dress code.
Mm-hmm.
There was a discussion of a parental bill of rights. Yeah. How did that play out, and how is that related?
So parental bill of rights was a resolution passed, and as a resolution, it didn't have to go through the same processes as a policy would have to do to be passed. It laid out a whole bunch of rights that parents already have, and then also brought into play the pronouns and names and all that kind of thing. And it's exactly what's going on across the country, and we're seeing it. We saw it in the state of Wisconsin, too. We've seen legislation introduced along party lines like that.
This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We will be right back with the state of affairs in the Waukesha Public Schools and the Waukesha School Board. Be right back.
This is Hammer, mortgage originator with Provisor. Get your financing game on before you jump into the open house market. Join me at Weichert Realtors Lake Point 8 to 10 every Saturday and Sunday morning in March. Enjoy donuts from Zippy Lube, coffee from Forward Craft and Coffee, and let's talk financing strategy. It's an open house tailgate party at Weichert Lake Point 2045 Atwood Avenue. Visit MadisonOpenHouse.com for more info. Provisor Inc., NMLS ID 1802853, Equal Housing Lender.
Every family has one. The Smother.
Holy why!
Hi, Erica!
This is my daughter. I baked her in my tummy.
The Goldbergs every weeknight.
Weeknights at 5 and 5:30 on My 24.
With a house full of women, it's every man for himself.
What is it about hanging bras in the bathroom like Christmas ornaments? If I don't hang my underwear in the bathroom, that would be terrifying.
Tim Allen is the last man standing.
Weeknights at 6 and 6:30 on My24.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 32 tonight. Under overcast skies, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 52. Tomorrow, cloudy. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 37. Low 50s Wednesday, mid 40s by Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here with Diane Voigt, and we are talking about the state of public education, public schools, and a very, very, very important school board election coming up on April 4th. We've heard a little bit about this new board. There, some of them have pledged or signed pledges to the 1776 organization. You know, women had no rights to vote. 1770, you know, we all celebrate the 4th of July, right? We got rid of a king, but we were hardly a full democracy at that point in time. We had slavery. It was built into our Constitution. I mean, you know, it's one thing to say we want to get rid of kings. It's another thing to say that we really want to take our children back when women couldn't vote and we had slaves, which is like absurd notion. We heard a little bit about issues of the staff dress code. I've heard just rumors, and you can jump into this, Diane. We got a book review process now going on. What is happening with this board, and why are you coming out of retirement to to go back on this board?
There's so many things that are wrong with how the policies are being made. There's so many things being wrong about the fact that they immediately got rid of equity discussions for professional development. That was all canceled when this board had their say. You know, the very positive initiatives were going on throughout the district to make all kids feel welcome, and to feel like they can come to school and have a safe place to be able to learn to their fullest potential. That's very much threatened right now. And a lot of the teachers that are forced to say that, you know, they don't want to be in a position to have to out kids that are trans, you know, to their parents and things like that. The teachers are feeling that this is not a good place to be. And one of the things that I think that's extremely important for kids to be able to improve their test scores and be able to learn the best that they possibly can is to have great teachers. And at this point, since I left the board, we have doubled the resignation rate that was there when I was in, you know, on the board. You know, and part of that is because teachers and administrators are leaving the district rather than being forced to share these archaic 1776, you know, type of philosophies and not make kids feel like they're welcome and loved and respected and able to be who they are within the classroom.
So when you're going door to door and saying vote for Voigt, right, what are you saying to folks?
I'm telling people that I have a very different perspective than the current board has. I'm not a like-minded conservative. You know, I've been a moderate all my life. You know, and I listen to both sides and try to negotiate the best compromise that could be possible for the best, you know, service for our kids. I'm told that by my opponents that I am against parent rights, and that's, can't be farther from the truth. I'm a parent who proudly had two daughters who made it through our Waukesha public schools. One graduated from North High School, one graduated from West High School. You know, the school district was amazing through that, you know, through their educational process. I now have grandkids, one a first grader, one in the 4K program, you know, that I'm hoping will have great education in Waukesha as well.
Right, and let's talk about this because, you know, I think I shared that my spouse was also an educator. Taught high school. Mm-hmm. Taught history and civics. Mm-hmm. Don't we want our children to know the truth about our history so we can make a better democracy?
I would think so.
So are you saying that to people door to door?
Well, I'm telling them that I don't think CRT has ever been an issue in the school district of Waukesha.
Right.
And I think that it's really important for kids to know what happened in the history of the United States.
Right, that in 1776 there was slavery, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a bad and evil thing. We can't get over that,
mm-hmm.
right?
But now with the topics that are being hidden away, you know, they don't want to talk about on Anne Frank. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to talk about things.
Do they say they don't want to talk about Anne Frank? I mean, they don't want to talk about the Holocaust. I mean, they want to rewrite.
And
the history of World War II.
When I visited the Holocaust, that was one of the things that they were very concerned about, is that people trying to whitewash history and not tell the real story. You know, when you visit that location, you know, and realize the tragedy that existed there, the traumatic effect that can happen when people are as racist as they were at that time. You know,
Let me ask you this. How is it that the current school board is discouraging Anne Frank? How is that in a
That was one of the concerns that came up with the book banning, that was one of the books that they may seem inappropriate for kids at different, at different educational levels. You know, and they're concerned, like, why can't we do what we've done in the past? It's been effective to allow kids to be able to, you know, learn through that literature.
Let me ask, is the current board, are they taking the list out publicly and talking about it before they're taking it up? How is that happening?
The concern is that there's this list that appeared last year of 100 books that they wanted to review. Because they were making a big deal about the pornography in our libraries. You know, they get up at board meetings and read sexual, you know, passages from books, you know, descriptions of things that were going on. And, you know, of that list of 100 books, 18 of them weren't even in our library. You know, this is not a groundswell of concern about what's going on in our schools, because this has never been an issue in the past. You know, just like it's never been an issue to wear a rainbow lanyard, you know, or to have rainbows, you know, as part of the welcoming signs, because that represents the diversity that we embrace as being a strength of the school district of Waukesha.
What would be, like, your main point, if elected, to try to bring some sanity back to the Waukesha School Board?
I would totally have them put the brakes on their decisions that are implementing policies that are negatively affecting kids, you know, negatively affecting the dress code for teachers, et cetera. They have this pattern of, you know, we can bring it up on Friday in the agenda that's coming up for the meeting this coming Wednesday, and we can talk about it maybe at the preliminary meetings that lead up to the board meeting, but on that night we can pass it. Mm-hmm. Like, without any chance for parents, for teachers, for community members to have a chance to have input on it. And that's just so wrong. After being on the policy committee for 3 years, that's not how we've always done it, you know.
Hello, folks. Waukesha. Everyone voting on April 4th for the school board. Vote for Voight. Check out her website. Are you aware that they are making changes to your schools, fundamentally impacting your children without even consulting you? It doesn't seem like a very democratic thing. Thank you very much, Diane Voight. Thank you, Sarah. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. Thank you for listening, and we will be back next Monday night with.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Hey, Wisconsin, voting is one of our fundamental rights. Every eligible citizen has the right to be heard. You need an acceptable photo ID to vote in the spring election on April 4th. Vote Riders provides free help to get your Wisconsin ID card. Please visit voteriders.org today. They can answer all your questions about voter ID and offer free help if you need an ID to vote. If you're a citizen and you need an ID, visit voteriders.org. Voteriders.org.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.